hear whatever I have to say. So if I'm going to say something outlandish, today is the day. Shall I say something outlandish? Tom's like, yes, go for it. Let's just take a moment to pray one more time, and then we'll look into this section of Scripture. You bow your heads with me. So Lord, we come to you, and we ask that you would be with us now. We ask that you would fill us up with your living and eternal hope, and that you would truly bless us who have opened our ears to you and asked for your presence to be present in us. We pray that you would come now and your spirit would fill us so that we would have your joy and your hope and your life residing within us by the power of the cross. In your name, amen. So has this ever happened to you? It's happened to me a fair amount of times that I am looking for an app to do something I want to do on my phone. And so I'm looking for an app, and then at some point I mention that I'm looking for this to a tech guy. So perhaps Christian, or I ask Martin, I'm trying to do this. And they say, there's no need to get an app. That's already on your phone. It comes standard with your phone, or it comes standard with your PC. And then they open up some program that I didn't know existed. And I go, oh, I mean, I don't even have to spend money on this. I have it already. I don't need to go and get what I already have. And it's a moment that, it's a funny moment. You know, I didn't know that this was available to me. I didn't know that what I needed, I had all along. What does the Bible say? So we remember, yet last week, we had taken a close-up look at these words. There, therefore, is no condemnation for those in Christ. Has anyone memorized that? There, therefore, is no condemnation for those in Christ. Okay? And we took kind of like a deep dive, and we thought about this amazing thing that what we couldn't do, God did by sending his son in the likeness of our sinful flesh. And so he took our pardon, and he took our punishment. We receive his pardon, and he took our punishment. And remember at the end of that, it said that now he did this so that we might fully meet the requirement of the law. And how that meant that both we wear Christ's righteousness, but it also meant that we now live in a totally different and pleasing way to the way that we had lived. And this is something that we say to people about Christianity, is that you have a life before Christ, and then you have a very different life after Christ, where he has affected you and changed you and turned you into someone beautiful and righteous and pleasing. And so God expects big change. And that might put a lot of pressure on us, might it, right? And we might wonder, what do I do? What do I do? Do I need a new teaching? Do I need to hear the best theologians and read their books? Do I need a self-help book in order to live a righteous life? Do I need wellness techniques? There are so many. Do I need counseling? Do I need psychiatry? Do I possibly need medication? Okay, now these aren't necessarily bad things, although some of them can be negative, some of them can be positive, some of them might be very useful, but they are all possibly facilitators, right? They are all facilitators rather than the solution. And so actually what we need for life and godliness, we already have. It's loaded automatically in the life of every believer. They get it by default. And the thing that they get is actually a person. And the person is the Spirit of Christ residing within them. That's what we really need. Okay, so here's if we're going to take one idea away from this lesson, here's what I put down. We already have the Spirit, and then nothing can stop us. Nothing can stop us now. We already have the Spirit. Nothing can stop us. Okay, so first, we're going to look at three aspects of this. First, everything that we need, we have with the Spirit. And without him, we have nothing at all. Second, it's automatic for those in Christ to receive the Spirit. You don't have to do a thing if you're a believer. And then third, nothing can stop us because the power that was in Jesus, his Spirit, now resides in us. And that is powerful, okay? So those three ideas. We already have the Spirit. Nothing can stop us now. Do you believe that? Let's start by thinking about how we have everything with the Spirit and nothing without him. And so we're in Romans chapter 8, and we're actually going to start in verse 5. We had a nice deep dive last week, so we're just going to start up in verse 5, speaking about the implications of what has taken place. Okay? Romans chapter 5, page 1132. I'm sorry, Romans chapter 8, verse 5. Goodness. 1134. Okay, here we are. Those who live according to the flesh have their mind set on what the flesh desires, but those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their mind set on what the Spirit desires. The mind governed by the flesh is death, but the mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. The mind governed by the flesh is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Those who are in the realm of the flesh cannot please God. Okay, and so we have the polar opposites, don't we, of life and thinking. So we have the living according to the law or living according to the flesh, and they're not frenemies. They see the world in an opposite way. They hate each other. If you have these two people as your friends, you never invite them to the same event, okay? They'll destroy one another. They loathe each other. And one of them actually is properly detestable. And so the claim of Christianity is that for us, if we're thinking about things, it's that there are only two mindsets through which you can live your life. And they are vastly different directions. You can live according to the flesh, or you can live according to the Spirit. Now let's think about the mindset of the flesh. This is the default before we have a relationship with Christ. So everyone here has already lived according to the flesh. You've spent some time of your life in this state. We've all been there. And it's defined by selfish living. Demanded independence from God. Setting our desires above God and love for others. In fact, it is the world of me, myself, and I. Okay? That is the world of the flesh. And it's got that word flesh, and you think about it's all about me, right? It's all about me. And to be honest, it feels empowering to take life by the horns and say, I'm going to get out of it what I want. But the reality is, and this is what we're told, it leads to death. Okay? And here, death is physical death. We all die because of our sins. But it's also this idea of death by being alone. We don't live because we have no relationship with our Father in heaven, and we have no relationship with others. That's a sad and lonely eternity that some people are. They are going to live their lives in the flesh, and they will spend time, right? That the punishment is to be alone, okay? And so we don't want that, right? Okay, well, we'll talk about that in a second. The mindset of the Spirit, totally different. It's the mindset of Jesus. We're talking about Jesus' Spirit. It's other-focused. It's loving God and others and serving them no matter almost what, right? Because Jesus serves them to death. He dies upon a cross. And that's not just inspirational, you know? Aren't you inspired by what Jesus did for us? Yes, of course. Yes, I'm inspired. It's actually meant to be ours. We're meant to live that same life that Jesus has lived, where he sacrifices all for others and where he forgets about himself. And then paradoxically, that leads to life and peace. And I say paradoxically because we wouldn't expect that by losing our life, we would find it. But that's precisely what happens. And that's what Jesus tells us to do. Lose your life and find it. Live according to the Spirit. So let's just do a straw vote here. Option two options on tap. Only two options. There's no third option. There's not a none of the above that you can scratch here. Which is better? Live by the flesh, feel empowered, but it leads to loneliness and death. That's where it goes. You can see the end. Or live by the Spirit. You feel like you're losing your life, but you gain it. You get life and you get peace. So who says, let's go ahead, live by the flesh? Anybody in here? Anyone? Okay, see, this is a simple sermon for us, isn't it, this morning? No? We all want to live by the Spirit? Okay, well, some of us are going to go and live by the flesh in just a bit. And so we're going to have to talk about how not to do that, okay? Okay, so it says here further, the flesh cannot please God. In the mindset of the flesh, you never ever accidentally get to the right destination of the spirit. It's kind of like saying, I want to go to Cornwall. That's my desire. But then I get on the motorway and I'm headed towards York. And I'm never ever going to get to Cornwall as long as I continue to go towards York. Okay? It's not possible. I'm headed the wrong direction. And the words here, it is hostile towards God. It does not submit to his law. And we've spoken about this. It doesn't even know how to submit. It's not even under the possible categories for something that could take place. So there's two lies here that we need to deal with that we hear a lot in our society, okay? And the first lie is, we are okay on our own without God's help. Okay, that's the first lie. You know, I'm just going to try to be good and to do things that I think he likes every once in a while to offset whatever else I choose to do. And I'm sure that if he does exist, that he will be pleased well enough with my effort. There are lots of people who think that. I've lived a pretty good life, they say. And they are totally they don't understand that the flesh will not let them get there. That they may have good desires. It doesn't say that you know, humans don't have good desires and that we don't, you know, try to feel and offset the bad that we're doing. It just says that we really can't manage because of the flesh. If that's your mind step, it's like swimming upstream in a very fast torrent. Eventually, you're just going to go with the flow. You're going to do what's natural. And what's natural is not going to go the way of the Lord. Now, the caveat is right, it's not saying that you don't have good intentions. It's not saying that you even don't do nice things. It's saying that the hard intent might be to have this change, but the lens is wrong and the output isn't satisfying before God. It's not. Okay, second lie. The second lie is that Christians can have it both. Okay? The second lie is that Christians can have it both. I can live for Jesus, we say, and I can live for me too. I'll do both of them at once, and I'll get it all. Doesn't that sound like a greedy thought? In the Old Testament, you've got Gideon, right? And God is like, Gideon, I want you to go and lead my army. And Gideon's like, I'm nobody. And God's like, that's exactly right. I'll do it, though. Okay, you just go, and I'll do it. And then Gideon, it goes to his head. And so God's like, I'm going to give you victory. And Gideon's like, I'm scared. And God's like, well, go down to the camp and you'll hear something that won't make you scared. So he goes down and somebody says, we're all doomed in the opposing enemy's camp. And that gives Gideon hope. And then he tells the men, I want you to go with the sword in your hand I think they have lamps. You're not going to fight. And when you break the pots, they're to scream for God. And for Gideon, okay? That's the punchline. God and Gideon. And you know how it ends up. What ends up happening is it ends up being that God isn't as glorified. It just ends up being about Gideon. You see what's happened? This is the problem. You can't serve one and the other equally, and you end up serving the flesh, okay? They will not share. And actually, Gideon goes on to worship this ephod that he makes from the money. It's like this, he makes an image, and people end up worshiping it, and it leads everybody astray from God, and it's a big picture. It's like double dating. I don't know if anybody here has done the double dating deal. It's like double dating, and one of the people that you are courting is a complete scoundrel, and everybody says so. Okay, everybody says, why are you interested in that person, right? And your friends are aghast that you're seeing that person, especially when you're seeing this person over here who's wonderful. And they say, listen, you are throwing everything into a dangerous situation here, because if the other person figures out, then it's all over with the good person. And what do you have? This lousy person. That's the idea. You can't have them both. God isn't willing to share. The flesh is not willing to share with the spirit. The spirit isn't willing to share with the flesh. Okay, so let's just sum up. Everything with the Spirit, we have with the Spirit. And nothing without the Spirit. We cannot please God with the flesh. And so we need him. Okay. So we already have the Spirit. Nothing can stop us now. Let's look at verse 9. Kind of the crux of what we want to be hearing today. And we need to hear this. Verse 9. It says this. You. So everybody go like this. me. You, however, what does it say? We are of the flesh? We are not in the realm of the flesh, but are in the realm of the Spirit. If indeed the Spirit of God lives in you, and if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, then, right, they do not belong to Christ. They do not belong to Christ. So I suppose as I'm describing life in the Spirit, that somebody here may have felt a bit guilty, and some of us in this room might have felt a weight on their shoulder. Oh, goodness, I can't live this way. I can't do it. I'm not good enough to live according to the Spirit. And if that's you, I have just wonderful news for you this morning. Really fantastic news. Are you ready? It's already yours. You don't have to earn it. The Spirit is there already if you believe. You already have the Spirit. You see, it's an all-inclusive package. And it always comes standard with everyone who gets it. You have the Spirit of God if you believe in Christ. You have the Spirit of God if you belong to Christ. How do you belong to Christ? Everybody knows the ABCs of faith. Who knows it? A, admit I am a sinner. B, believe that Jesus Christ died for my sins. C, I confess Jesus as my Lord. If that's you, if you've admitted and believed and confessed and given yourself to Christ, Christ is like, good, I give myself to you. My Spirit dwells within you. You didn't do anything to do that. That's entirely God's doing. It was Jesus who picked up all the bags in his own household, and he got everything ready. Then he went to your house, and then he inhabited it, and he did something further. He went to your heart, and he rewired the whole thing. All of that without you doing anything whatsoever. It comes with the package. The Lord, his Spirit, is with you. And we can also say the reverse. If you do not know Jesus, then you cannot have his Spirit. That leaves only one opportunity for you. What is it? The flesh. That's all you get. If you do not know Jesus, if there are people there, I know somebody's going to say, I know some good people somewhere, and they don't know Jesus. And the answer is, well, you might think they're good, and maybe they're good in comparison to your righteousness, but they're not good in comparison to Christ's righteousness. In fact, they're operating in the flesh. And so Jesus is so critical, isn't he? And so we belong to Jesus and he inhabits us, our life. He inhabits our life. And this is regardless of whether we feel it or don't. Some people talk about amazing emotion that they felt when they came to the Lord and how they still feel that emotion today. Indeed, I would say I felt amazing emotion and I feel like I'm no longer alone, okay? And I've felt that since the day I became a believer. Other people haven't felt any of that and they've been very sincere. Guess what? God does that. I don't know why. Some people feel a lot, some people don't feel any, but here's the thing, whether they feel something or whether they don't, Jesus is still there. And they really, and whether they feel like they're a new creation or they feel like they don't, they're still a new creation if they know Christ. You see what has happened? This is really good news. And many of us could use the reminder that we're not in the realm of the flesh. We need to tell ourselves that over and over again. So if you find yourself struggling with sin, if you find yourself feeling unable to win against sin, you're having some identity confusion, okay? If you're a believer, that is. You're having identity confusion. Last week I said this. You're having spiritual amnesia. You're having spiritual amnesia. I can't remember. And our opponent wants us to believe that nothing has changed. Nothing has changed. You're just the same old you as before. Yeah, you did that crazy I surrender to Jesus thing, but you'll never change. You're mine. You're mine forever. That's what he wants to say. And yet, actually, the truth is you really have changed. Christ really has entered your life. You're not the same person. You can never, ever, ever go back. It's like we're birds that were in a cage, and the cage has been destroyed. And we're sitting there on the pedestal that's still there. And Satan is saying, but you're never going to leave this place. This is where you belong. And we're saying, you know, it's not so bad inside this cage that's no longer here. And we don't know that we can flap our wings and fly away. Because we've always had that, right? Christ has given us the power to fly away. We just don't realize it. Some statement here, right? Next week, it's going to tell us that we can be rid of the flesh. And that we ought to get rid of the flesh. In other places, we're told to be filled with the Holy Spirit. But here, it's just simply telling us it has happened. The Spirit has come into your life if you're a believer. You are new, and you have everything you need to overcome. Well, that's the next point we're going to talk about, okay? We already have the Spirit. Nothing can stop us now. A final point. With His power working, nothing can stop us. With His power working, nothing can stop us. And so verse 10 now. And then we'll think about some application points. But if Christ is in you, then even though your body is subject to death because of sin, the Spirit gives life because of righteousness. And if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies because of His Spirit, or because of the Spirit who lives in you. So, interesting thing, if you think about all the power that has been displayed in Jesus, okay, all the power that is displayed as He lived His life, as He did those miracles, as He conquered the flesh, as He was then crucified, and then the incredible power of His resurrection, all of that power came through the Spirit, and that Spirit is now residing in you. You're powerful in Christ. Far more powerful than you realize. You are unstoppable in Christ in the mission that He gives you. An important caveat, the power that we have only applies to doing the kingdom work that God has given us to do, okay? That's the power to be transformed and the power to live right. It comes through Christ, and we have Christ, and we are unstoppable because He is unstoppable. Jesus said, it says here that the Spirit gives us life. Jesus said, I've come that they may have life and have it to the full. And so as we grow, our body decays. Anybody else noticed as you get older that, man, things start to creak? I woke up this morning, my teeth were kind of feeling weird, and I don't think I have a cavity. I think it's just that my teeth are old. Okay? They're just, and then, you know, and yet, we are more and more alive. There is a hope. Even though our bodies are wasting away, what's the truth? We'll never stop being alive. If anything, we're getting closer to the Lord who is our life. Okay? Have you met Christians who are totally unafraid of death? Have you met Christians who are completely and utterly... it's not that they're going to walk off a cliff. But they're okay. You talk about, oh, you might die, and they're like, I'm going to be okay. I'm really going to be okay. Not like what you hear people say, like, I'm going to have a brave face about this, and, you know, it's really going to be horrible, actually, though. I mean, they are okay. They're like, if Jesus calls me home, I'm going home, and it's okay. And they're happy to live in the moments of their life now, not afraid of what's coming, because it's good. There are a lot of people, you can find a lot of them on YouTube, who are like, let's do the bucket list. And they are getting on planes, and they are spending tons of money, but they hope that you're going to watch their videos, and so that's how they recoup their finances. But anyway, they go to China, and they go to wherever, and they see this emerald pool and that giant building and those interesting people and that interesting culture and whatever. And you know what? I just watched those videos, and I just realized that they're exhausted in it. They're like, I have to get every drop out of life, and they just look exhausted doing it. I want to tell them, maybe there's something a little bit easier for you. There's an eater show that I like watching. Somebody travels around the world, and he eats the various foods, and he really enjoys eating food, this person. And he kind of enjoys having a celebratory meal, and so there are these lots of moments where he's eating incredible food. And yet, in these moments of eating, you can just sense that there's a deep sadness inside of him. And what is the sadness? This next morsel, that's it. That's what I get. That's the sadness. He is only flesh. And there's nothing more. But for the Christian, because of Jesus' righteousness, this life really is just the beginning of living. It's the open door, but we're going to live so much more. There's so much more life to live. We are going more and more into life. It's also speaking about eternal life here, that our mortal bodies will be raised because the Spirit of God is within us. He will raise us just as he rose Jesus, and so he's our hope of heaven. But it is also something else, too. We will live powerfully because of what Christ has done. We will live fully alive by putting away all sorts of things that are death. By taking sins that are deadening. Sins that everybody else gorges themselves on. It just makes them sick, but it's all they think they have. But through Christ and through his resurrection, there is a promise and a hope that we, if we will put our trust in him, we will absolutely put these sins away and we will live fully. It's those things that are stopping us from really having joy and experiencing God and being fulfilled. That they stop us. They don't give us life. They take it away. And Christ has promised, you can beat those things through what I've done. That's what he's promised. I've done enough in the cross. The cross was enough to beat every single sin that is holding you down. And so cast it off. You will have life. Okay, so we already have the Spirit. Nothing can stop us now. So what can we take away from this lesson? I was so excited about this lesson. I hope you were excited too. I'm really excited. Number one, the cross of Christ is enough. The cross of Christ is enough. Jesus' power is far greater than what the enemy brought. And what the enemy brought has been totally and utterly subjugated. It's not like Jesus barely beat Satan. He is done. The power of the cross has overcome him, and the power of the cross has overcome your sin. That's what you want. You want him. You want his freedom. You don't want sin. And that leads to the next point, actually. Believe that you really are the new creation that Christ has called you. Believe that you really are the new creation that Christ has changed. And there's an interesting thing that we need to understand. That we actually need to tell ourselves what is true about ourselves. We need to say, I am a new creation because of what Christ has done. And then actually act in a manner that is consistent with our new nature. It is our new nature, and yet we have the ability to be deceived about who we are. In fact, every time that we sin, Satan has won the battle of deceiving us into thinking that that is what we want, and that is what we are. But it is not what we are, and it is not what we want. I have down here as an illustration, children of the king do not stoop down to pick up a few pence from the mud. They're too good for that. I'm a prince. I am not bowing to this muck. I am a new creation. I won't go there. I don't want to anyway. My king owns it all, and I'm his. And so the encouragement here is that you go out believing something very amazing, something very beautiful, something that the world wishes they could say was true. Because if you go to all these self-help books, you know what they will say? They will say, you are good, and you're wonderful on the inside, and it's all a pile of lies. And yet, in Christ, you really are good. You really are a new creation. You really are set free. You really are being lifted up forever, and you can overcome. In fact, you will overcome because that is who you are in Jesus. Let's pray. So, Lord, hopefully, your word has given us a number of things.